Yesterday we had started with the definition of what is khushu. And we said that this is an internal quality, an inner quality of the heart, where a person is connected to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And we had also mentioned in regards to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that initially how Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam would raise his gaze, waiting for wahi to come down, sahaba ikram also, until the verse of the Quran was revealed. Allah Ta'ala says, "Alladhina hum fi salatihim khashi'un," those that have humbleness in the salah. So from that point, they kept their gaze on the ground. They never lifted their gaze thereafter. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, in one narration, he says that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that seek refuge, seek protection from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala from khushu of a munafiq. So Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in, they asked Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala that what is khushu of a munafiq, the khushu of a hypocrite. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala mentioned that a person, when he performs salah, when you look at him from the outside, he is so engrossed in his salah, he is connected to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, but in reality the heart is nowhere connected to Allah. That is also outward khushu, but this is khushu of a munafiq. One buzurg, one pious person, he was making tawaf of Baytullah. So while he was making tawaf, he saw one person holding on the khilaf of the Kaaba. And this person now was making dua to Allah Ta'ala, crying before Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. But some of these buzurgs, Allah Ta'ala opens up certain things to them. Kashf. Allah Ta'ala opens it up to them. So he seen one nazar, one gaze, and he seen this person, he is crying and making dua within the ghilaf of the Kaaba, but the heart is not connected to Allah Ta'ala. And then he went to Mina. When he went to Mina, he saw one person engaged in business, busy buying, busy selling to his customers. But when he looked at him, this person, his heart was connected to Allah Ta'ala. So see, one is in dunya, but his heart was connected to Allah Ta'ala. And the other one is holding on the ghilaf of the Kaaba, he's crying and making dua to Allah Ta'ala, but the heart is nowhere connected to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. One person, Abdullah bin Mutarrif rahmatullah alayhi, on one occasion, he passed by a qabristan. So it was on the day of Jumu'ah, it was the morning, and he decided to take a rest, to lie down a little bit there, take a rest, and then he'll continue wherever he was going. So when he lay down, and he fell off to sleep, he saw a dream. He saw all the qabrs opening up. And then from the qabrs, all the people were coming out, the inmates of the qabr, they were all coming out. And they were all collecting something. Everyone was collecting. But there was one elderly person that was there. And the elderly person was sitting content. He wasn't collecting anything. So in the dream, Abdullah bin Mutarrif, rahmatullah alayhi, asked him, he said, "What is this?" So he said, "All the people of the world, whatever they read, whatever sadaqah they give on our behalf, whatever they send for us, we are muhtaj, we are in need of this. Because once a person passed away, إِذَا مَاتَ إِنسَانٍ إِنْقَطَ عَمَلُ." When a person passed away, his amal, his actions, they cut off, they come to an end. He cannot do any more good actions. إِلَّا لِثَلَاثٍ, except for three things. صَدَقَةٌ جَارِيَةٌ, that a person, he did some صَدَقَةِ جَارِيَةٌ. For example, somebody contributed to this masjid carpet, to the masjid wall. So as long as this masjid is remaining, people are performing salah, he's going to get the thawab. Somebody built a well, and people are drinking water, he's going to, so some thawab jariyah, that is going to continue. Or sadaqatun jariyah, aw ilmun yantafi'u bihin nas, or knowledge by which people benefit. For example, somebody wrote a kitab, and this kitab continues, the publication of it continues, and this remains till the day of qiyamah. So as long as people are benefiting from that particular kitab, this person, he continues getting the reward for it. Or a person has taught knowledge of deen, whether it's Quran, whether it is hadith, whether it is fiqh, and that knowledge which the student acquired, he then went and passed it on. And his students then passed it on. And this chain continues, like how knowledge has come to us from Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So there's a chain that has come right up to our point. And if we pass it on and it continues till the day of Qiyamah, so everybody in this chain now is going to get the reward. So knowledge by which people will benefit, there the reward is perpetual, it will continue. Teaching hifz of the Quran, whatever it might be. Or the third thing, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, أَوَّلَدٍ صَالِحٍ يَدْعُ لَهُ. Person left behind a righteous child, a pious child. And that pious child makes dua for maghfirah for his parents. Then this will reach the parents. So he also said the same thing. He said, our amal have been cut off. So whatever they send, we come out on a Friday and we collect all this. So he asked the old man, he says, no, why are you sitting? Why are you not collecting? Aren't you in need? So he says, no, I have a son. And that son has memorized Quran, he is Hafiz al-Quran. Every day he reads one Quran, he passes it over to me. So he said, where's your son? So he said, in a certain place, in a marketplace, he's got a mithai shop. He sells sweetmeat. Go there, you will find him there. So he got up and he went there. He found that this young man, he is busy selling his mithai, his sweetmeat, but his lips are moving. He's reciting Quran. And in this way, every day he sent one khatam for his father. Many Buzruk cities, they practice and they go to any town also. First thing they do, 3 times Qul Huwallah. All the marhumin that are there, pass it over to them. All our nafil, all the nafil that we do, we can pass it on to the marhumin. They are in need, tomorrow we are also going to be in need. So, we got the opportunity, whatever we can do, pass it on to the marhumin. Some ulama have gone to the extent, they say that even your faraz, even your fard, you can pass that also over to the marhumin. Although there's difference of opinion, and the better view is that the fard a person shouldn't pass on. But the nawafil, that a person, he can pass it on to the marhumin. So here again, coming to our point, see, he's involved in dunya, he's busy selling. But his heart is connected to Allah Ta'ala. One Quran is going every day to his father. So this is that nifaq, this is that hypocrisy. Outwardly you look at a person, he's in deen. But in reality, a person is in dunya. It's mentioned about a particular king, Hazrat Shah Shuja Kirmani Rahmatullahi. So he was a very pious king. So his daughter had come of age and he wanted to get this daughter married. So he was looking for the best boy, like any father, for his daughter. So one day he came to the masjid and he found one person performing salah, one young boy, he is performing salah. When he looked at the salah of this boy, the way he is performing salah, he was impressed. He was taken aback that this is the boy that I want for my daughter. So when this boy finished his salah, he went up. Now he doesn't know, that boy also doesn't know this is the king. So he told him that, tell me something, what if the king wants to give you his daughter in marriage? So this young boy, he was poor, he was faqir, very, very poor person. He says, don't make mockery of a poor person. Don't make mockery. So he says, no, I'm asking you a question, that if the king had to give you his daughter in marriage, would you be prepared to accept? So he says, who is going to say no? I will be prepared to accept. But don't make mockery of a poor person. So he told him that I want to give my daughter to you in marriage. I am the king. So he went home and he told his daughter that this is the boy, I have chosen a boy for you and I want to get you married to this girl. I want you to get married to this boy. So anyway, they got the princess married to him, to the faqir. So after the nikah, the father took the daughter and went and left her at this boy's home. Whatever little shack, whatever he must have had, went and left him there. So she went into the house. And thereafter she came out of the house. So he said, I told your father, you cannot live with me. You're a princess. That luxury lifestyle that you had, and for you to live like this, is impossible. Now what she is, if we would look at it, we'll say, somebody of dunya. She's the princess. She's living in the royal palace. But look where her mind went. She said, that's not the reason. That's not the reason. They said, what's the reason then? Why you came out? She said, you told my father that you depend totally on Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala for your risk and your sustenance. But when I went into your house, I found a piece of roti. If you are dependent on Allah Ta'ala, why did you leave this piece of roti? This is a very high level of tawakkul, not for us. Let's understand that also. It's not for me and it's not for you. We can't get there. So he said, why you left this piece of roti that is over here? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he would give expenses to his wife for the whole year. So can we say Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never have tawakkul? Whole year's expenses. According to our level, we live. So he said that in the morning, I was fasting today. So the half I ate for sehri, and the half I left for iftar, that when I will make iftar, I will eat this half piece of roti. So see, outwardly she looks like a person of dunya. But how high was her level of tawakkul in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. That person that puts his tawakkul in Allah, trust in Allah, Allah will suffice that person. To such an extent, is mentioned in the hadith, لَوْ أَنَّكُمْ تَتَوَكَّلُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ حَقَّ تَوَكُّلِهِ لَرَزَقَكُمْ كَمَا يَرْزُقُ الطَّيْرِ. If you put your trust in Allah, in the manner a person supposed to trust Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, Allah will give you risk as Allah ta'ala gives a bird. تَغْدُو خِمَاصًا وَتَرُوحُ بِطَانًا. That bird, when it leaves the house in the morning, empty stomach, nothing. And the bird doesn't go to work also. But when that bird returns home in the evening, stomach is full. Stomach of that bird. How Allah Ta'ala provides for that bird. So if you put trust in Allah to that extent, then this is how Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will provide for a person. Hazrat Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi alayhi, you must have heard of him, the mighty king of Balkh. How finally he had many, many incidents about him and many lessons to take from him also. How he finally gave up his kingdom and he went away. They also, again, very high level of tawakkul, not for us. But this is just to understand. At least we can aspire for that. That Allah Ta'ala give us even an atom of it. That what trust they had in Allah and how Allah opened the way for them. So when he left his home, according to some kitabs it is written, he took a pillow. He took a cup. He took a bucket. And he took a string. Four things he took. And he left home. And then he went to live in the jungle. So when he was going, he came across one person that was sleeping on the floor, and he had a brick under his head as a pillow. So he says that this man could sleep like this, then why do I need a pillow? So he took the pillow and he gave it away. Then he went one step further. He came to a river. He found one person is putting his hand into the water, and he's scooping water and he's drinking with his hand. So he says, it's possible to drink water also like this. So he took his cup and he gave that away. Now he's left with the string and the bucket. So he came to one area, he was tired. He was tired, so he lay down. So he saw all the buck in that particular, there was a well there. So all the buck in that area, they came to the well. And they looked into the well, the water was down. So the buck, they looked up. When they looked up, all the water came up. So they drank water. So after they drank water, they went away. So now Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi, he's also thirsty, he wants to drink water. So when he went to the well, all the water that was now up, all that water went down. All the water went back down. So he looked up, he said, Ya Allah, my value is not even equivalent to that of a buck. That for the buck, the water was down, you brought it to the top. And for me, when I came to the well, you took the water down. Allah Ta'ala inspired Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi. He says, oh Ibrahim, the buck don't have the string and the bucket left. You still have the bucket and the string left. Your trust is not 100% on me. Your reliance is still not 100% on me. If it's 100%, وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ, you put your trust in Allah, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will suffice the person. If a person can understand this much, today in the world that we are living in, majority of the people, they will tell you, if you don't have insurance, impossible to live. If your house is not insured, your car is not insured, impossible. How a person is going to live? You're going to have a burglary, you're going to have this problem, there's riots all the time. If you're not insured, and many a times when the riots come, they clean the whole shop up. You're not very far from here. Complete shops were completely cleared out. One person, he worked, I don't know how many years, foreign brother, and he had stocks. For him, it was a few million rand that he had, and was his achievement, his whole life's work. Within a few hours, he was cleared. All the few million rand stock wiped out. So a person thinks that insurance, if I don't have this insurance, how am I going to live? But when you came in the world, what you had? Where did all that come from? Allah Ta'ala gave it. And Allah Ta'ala save us. Allah mustn't test us. We are very, very weak. But if it was taken, who took it away from us? Today a person, medical insurance, medical aid. If I don't have medical aid, how is it going to work for me? It can't happen. But there are millions of people out there, they don't have medical aid. They're also getting treatment. They're also getting treatment. Now this last holiday, we met one brother from Azadville. So in the last holiday, he went to Durban. So they stole his car. So they bought a, they replaced the car, they bought another car. So when he came back, then he came to me, he says that, tell me what's the masla about insurance. So I said, you know our masla about insurance, not permissible. Our view is that it's not permissible. So then he said, but then others have told me about third party insurance. Meaning if somebody comes and bumps you, or you bump somebody. So if you bump somebody, they won't fix your car. But what about that person's car? So who's going to fix that? So can't I have the third party insurance so the insurance can pay that person out? Sometimes you knock a person, his car is worth millions. Now you knocked his car, it's going to cost you so much to pay for that car. So I thought now maybe he's looking for a loophole. So I said, see, find out maybe some other muftis, maybe for them it's fine. So he says, no, I don't want to know that. I want to know what you say. Is it permissible or not permissible? Just tell me that much. So I said, no, it's not permissible. You know, for us, we are a bit hard on it. So he says, that's all I want to know. Now I will never touch it. My whole life I never touched the bank. My whole life I never touched the insurance company. I'll never touch it. The other day I was just mentioned, in the previous times, when this goods used to come from India to South Africa, he says that they had to pay the insurance premium. So what the people used to do, that amount that they had to pay in premium, give it in sadaqah. Allah will take care of it. Somebody is sick, they find out what is the cost of that operation or that treatment. That amount of money they take, they give it in sadaqah. And the hadith says that treat your ill with sadaqah. You give sadaqah, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will give cure. So give that amount in sadaqah. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will cure a person. So nevertheless, we were talking about that khushu of hypocrisy. That outwardly a person seems that he's in salah, but in reality, his heart is somewhere else. Once Nabi Akrim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he found one certain sahabi, he was playing with his beard while he was in salah. He said that if this khushu was in your heart, if you had this concentration in your heart, then you wouldn't have been playing with your beard. Because that would now express itself in the limbs. You would have been 100% at ease. So this, understand, this is the first term that you will get in this kitab. That is of khushu. So this is a quality of the heart where a person, he concentrates, his heart is connected to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And the second term that we will come across in this kitab is what is referred to as khudu. You'll always hear khushu and khudu. So khudu, this refers to the external limbs of the body. That these limbs of the body are all humble before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So all the postures, etc., everything is done correctly. All the postures are carried out correctly. So this is generally referred to as khudu. So khudu is the outward limbs of the body, that these are humble, all the postures are done correctly. And khushu is when a person is connected to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The ulama have written that there are two categories of musallis. The one category of musallis are those people from the point that they commence a salah, Allahu Akbar, their heart is immediately connected to Allah Ta'ala. Immediately. Like as the Shaykh Rahmatullah has written in Fazail Ramadan also. He says there are three parts of Ramadan. Awwaluhu rahmah, wa awsatuhu maghfirah, wa akhiruhu itqum minan nar. First 10 days rahmat, then maghfirah, then emancipation from the fire of Jahannam. So the Shaykh Rahmatullah says that awwaluhu rahmah, the first 10 days of rahmah. He says, for who are those? Is that? He says, those people, they already in their piety, they making the ibadah of Allah Ta'ala before the month of Ramadan starts. So when they enter the month of Ramadan, the rahmat of Allah pours on these people. Because they already, what we will say, in the fifth gear, they're already running at top speed. And then you get the second group, little bit gunas, and they got good actions also. Little bit qurbani for them. Next 10 days Allah say, whatever you have done, we make your maghfirat also. So they come right in the second 10 days. So the 10 days of maghfirat are for these people. And it says the last 10 days, for those that have erred more, got involved more in the disobedience of Allah, they have to make qurbani now for 20 days. And the last 10 days Allah says, for you, emancipation from the fire of Jahannam. So exactly the same way, the musalli also, you get that musalli when he says, Allahu Akbar, he is connected immediately to Allah Ta'ala. Allahu Akbar, he is now connected to Allah. So this Musalli, his rank is very high. Like Ali radiallahu ta'ala. He mentioned when Ali radiallahu ta'ala would be struck by an arrow, then that arrow would be removed from Ali radiallahu ta'ala in Salah. Because that's the only time he won't feel it. On one occasion, he was struck in the thigh, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, with an arrow. So they tried to take that arrow out. They couldn't remove it. So Sahaba made mashwara. They said, what should we do? So they said that, let him start Salah. When he starts his Salah, we will take the arrow out. So he started Salah. And then Ali radiallahu ta'ala went into Sajda. When he went into Sajda, then immediately with force, they pulled and they got that arrow out. So when Ali radiallahu ta'ala completed his Salah, he saw all the people standing around him. So he asked them, he says, what, have you all come to take out the arrow? They said, the arrow is out. It's already out. But he doesn't feel it when he was in Salah, because that concentration, that's the connection he's got with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So that is that one category of Musalli. Hazrat Amir bin Abdullah rahimahullah is mentioned in regards to him, that when he would perform Salah in his home, what level of concentration, that if somebody was talking in the house, he won't hear what they say. He wouldn't hear that somebody is talking in the house. So to the extent, not even talking in the house, that if somebody would hit the drums, they would beat the drums, he won't hear the beating of the drums also. So then somebody asked him, they said that, are you aware of anything? When you perform Salah, are you aware of anything also? He says, yes, I'm aware of the fact that I'm standing before Allah Ta'ala and I have to go to Jannat or either I have to go to Jahannam. He said, no, we're not asking about this. We don't want to know about this. We are asking that if somebody talks, are you aware of the fact that somebody is there, somebody is talking, do you hear that? He says that in Salah, it is better that a spear or an arrow pierces my body than listening to somebody else talking. So see, that's the level of concentration. Now this is a very, very high level. Generally, we cannot reach there. Illa mashallah, if Allah Ta'ala gives somebody the tawfiq, then he will reach there. But generally, we cannot reach this level so easily. And this is not what is required also. And then you get the second, so this is one category. Then you get the second category of Musalli. The second category is that person, he starts his Salah, generally he will start with concentration. But as he is performing Salah, now the mind starts drifting. The mind starts moving away now. Either it will go, for example, if you're a student, it will go to his kitab. Or somebody may be in business, now some business transaction, some order that he has to put, some goods he has to pick up. Or somebody is planning a holiday, so his head will go into that holiday. Whatever it might be, so the mind of a person drifts away. So this person, when he becomes conscious, Ya Allah, I'm in Salah. And where, what am I thinking about? So that concentration, that mind must be brought back into Salah. He must now say, oh no, I'm in Salah. Come back. That now I'm standing in front of Allah Ta'ala. After a little while, the mind drifts away again. When he becomes conscious, again, come back into Salah. Not that once you become conscious, because when your mind drifts away, you're not conscious at that time. That now, you know what, I'm in Salah. But then you realize, hey, I'm in Salah, what am I thinking about my business? So, don't carry on thinking about business when you become conscious. Bring it back into Salah. That is the way we should try and perform Salah. Which is Rakim Sahib Rahmatullah explained, he says, Dil ka lagna faraz nahi hai. Dil ka lagna faraz nahi. To be totally engrossed in Salah, that is not faraz. Dil ka lagana faraz hai. Bring the heart into Salah, that is faraz. If the heart ran away, you bring it back into namaz. Again it will run away. Bring it back into namaz. The example of this is like a child. The mother took the child when shopping. Now, in a shop where there's toys, what will the child do? Mother is holding the hand, she leaves him, he is gone in a particular direction. So the mother will go and bring him back, because now it's a big mall, so many people, the child is going to get lost. So, and today they kidnap children also. So bring the child back. Now the mother gets busy somewhere else, child gets the opportunity, child is gone again. Again, what does the mother do? Goes behind the child, pulls him, brings him back, gives him a couple of shots. But she doesn't leave that child. She keeps bringing that child back. Exactly the same way, this concentration in namaz, we will lose. But the moment you lost it, and you became conscious that I've lost concentration, bring this concentration back into namaz. And this is how we continue from the beginning till the end of namaz. Now, if a person does this, he falls in the second category. And he loses concentration. He brings back the concentration. He loses, he brings it back. No problem. Some ulama have written the reward that the first category gets, that's like Ali radiallahu ta'ala's category that we're talking about. The reward that the first category gets, they say the second category will get the same reward. Exactly the same. And other ulama have mentioned, no. This person won't get the same reward. He gets more than the first category. He gets even more than the first category. And this is also proven in another hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, Al-Mahiru bil-Qur'an ma'as-safaratil kiramil barara. That person that is an expert, he reads Qur'an beautifully. He will be with those malaika, the noble scribes of Allah Ta'ala. His rank is very high. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said thereafter, Walladhi yaqra'ul Qur'an. That person that recites Qur'an. وَيَتَتَعْتَعُ فِيهِ. And he stumbles. He stutters in reciting the Qur'an. And this, وَهُوَ عَلَيْهِ الشَّاقِ. This is difficult on him because he's going through difficulty. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, وَالْفَلَهُ أَجْرَانِ. For this person is double sawab. Not one sawab. The one that he reads excellence, his rank is very high. But for the one that goes through difficulty, double reward for him. One is for reciting Qur'an, and one is for the difficulty of stammering and stuttering, there's another reward for that person. So if you can understand it over there, you're also understanding this person is having difficulty. That person that is connected to Allah is very easy. He just makes Allahu Akbar and he's gone. He's connected to Allah. But this person who can't get that level of concentration, his concentration is going off. He's making an effort and bringing it back. So for him is a double reward. So when these thoughts come, it mustn't get frightened. Mustn't get frightened that these thoughts have come. No, if you keep bringing it back, your reward is much more greater. One person, he came to Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. And he told Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, he said, see, you'll never find a Shia becoming Qadiani. Qadiani is a deviated sect. And Shia is also out. So he said, you'll never find Shia becoming Qadiani. Who becomes Qadiani? Sunni. Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. They become Qadiani. So Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh was very witty, very smart. So he, on the turn, he gave him a reply. What he said? He said, Shaitan is not stupid also. He said, Shaitan knows that Shia is already out, he got nothing. Why must he go waste his time over there? He says he will make effort on who? That person who got something. Shaitan is not a fool. Shaitan doesn't steal money. He knows money got no value. Where does Shaitan work? Iman. He knows that a person got Iman, that is where Shaitan goes. He goes and he attacks that person. Attacks the Iman of a person. One person, Allah save us, he was having so much of problems in South Africa in his business. Again, robbery upon robbery all the time. So the Mohyuddin Patel Sahib Rahmatullah was alive at that time. So he phoned Hazrat, somebody from the family phoned Hazrat, and he said that this person is having this problem. Initially Hazrat said, istighfar, this, that, do that. But still nothing. Then finally Hazrat said that, you know, go and check your zakat. Maybe you're not discharging zakat properly. And because zakat is not calculated, zakat is not discharged properly, he says that these are the difficulties and the problems that are coming upon you. So nevertheless, so a person that he makes this effort for him, is a double reward. Now this is a lifelong effort that a person has to make. Hazrat Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah Ta'ala mentions him in the Quran, Surah Luqman. And it's mentioned Hazrat Shah Ahmad Sa'id Dehlawi rahmatullah alayhi. He mentioned in regards to Luqman alayhi salam, he said Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam, he had the opportunity of being in the company of 4,000 Anbiya alayhi salam. Very long life. He lived very, very long, Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam. And Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam, before the coming of Dawud alayhi salam, he used to give fatawa also. But then when Dawud alayhi salam came, then he stopped. He stopped giving fatawa. Then Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam took over this responsibility. So, very wise person. Although there is difference of opinion among the Mufassireen. Some say he was a Nabi of Allah, but majority say he wasn't a Nabi of Allah. He was a very, very wise person. Allah Ta'ala had blessed him with a lot of wisdom. That is why in the Quran also Allah Ta'ala speaks of the advisors that Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam had given his son. So Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam, at the end of his life, he gave about 8 advisors. Imagine he lived so long, 4,000 Anbiya alayhi salam, he gave 8 advisors. The first advice that he gave, he says, when you commence your salah, when you say Allahu Akbar, he says, watch your heart. Watch your heart. That this is such a great ibadat. So be careful, watch your heart when you commence your salah. The ulama have mentioned that in regards to salah, it will come in the kitab, we won't go into the detail of it now. But this salah that we perform, they say that it's got the ibadat of every makhluk of Allah. In salah is the ibadat of the trees. In salah is the ibadat of the four-legged animals. In salah is the ibadat of the insects. Because the insects are in sajda, the four-legged animals in ruku, the trees are in qiyam, in the standing posture. In Salah is the ibadat of the mountains. When we're sitting like this, we're in the sitting qada posture. The mountains are in the qada posture. They also make in the ibadat of Allah Ta'ala. So all various makhluk of Allah Ta'ala, they in Salah is the ibadat of the malaika. The malaika, some are making tasbih of Allah, some tahmeer of Allah, some takbir of Allah. In namaz you got Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, you got Subhana Rabbi al-Ala. All this you got Rabbana lakal hamd. So everything is included in Salah. In that Salah that you read, you got all the fundamentals of deen. You haven't only got Salah. Zakat is in Salah. Because when you perform Salah, you have to wear the appropriate clothing. And that clothing you have to purchase. The clothing you have to purchase. You have to spend money to make sure you're wearing appropriate clothing to now perform Salah. So in Salah, ulama say there's Zakat. In the Salah that you perform, ulama say there's Hajj. When you want to make Hajj, you go all the way to Makkah Sharif. When you want to commence, when you read Salah, if you read away from the Qibla, Salah is invalid. You have to face in the direction of Qibla. So in Salah is Hajj. In Salah is fasting. Before Salah, you could eat, you could drink. The moment you said Allahu Akbar, you can't eat now. You can't drink. In there is Rusom, is fasting. In Salah is I'tikaf. When a person comes for i'tikaf, sunnate mu'akkad i'tikaf, into the masjid, he cannot leave the boundaries of the masjid. He has to remain within the boundaries of the masjid. One moment you came out of the boundary of the masjid without a valid reason, i'tikaf invalid. But when you started your salah, before salah you could move wherever you want. When you came into salah, you cannot even move. To the extent that, for example, if somebody's wudu broke in the first saf, in the front saf ahead of you, and that person, he cannot stay in the saf any longer. He has to go out now. He has to make wudu, come back and complete his salah. So he leaves. And that place is now vacant. So that place can't be left empty. Because shaitan is going to fill that gap. So the person that is behind, he must come front. So how does he do it? He takes one step, two steps. Up to a maximum, he can go up to three. He cannot take more than three. If he goes up to three, he has to wait for the duration of three, subhanallah. And then he can take another further three steps. So see, out of salah, there was free movement. When you came into salah, even your movement is restricted. So you're getting the reward of i'tikaf when a person is in salah. So every makhluk of Allah Ta'ala, they ibadat easier in salah. All the fundamentals of deen, all this is included in salah. So can you imagine how much of concentration, how much of devotion there should be if a person just connects with Allah Ta'ala, where wouldn't one salah of a person take him? Now this doesn't come in just 1 month. We, mashallah, we're doing this kitab, Anwar Salah, Allah Ta'ala, give me tawfiq, I'm most in need of it. And all of us doing this kitab, this won't come just in this few days that we do this kitab. This is a lifelong effort. Alhamdulillah, over here for many years, Hazrat, he used to come and he used to explain this. For example, he will come Asr time for the Asr program. But before the program, many a times he will start with Salah. He will say, right, we have to do a particular posture of Namaz. So he'll say, how when you do the Takbir al-Tahrima, Allahu Akbar, how your hands should be. That facing towards the Qibla. And we'll do it also, inshallah. The facing towards the Qibla, all the fingers, they should be left normal. They shouldn't be closed also, they shouldn't be wide open also. Just leave it normal. Facing how the head should be. Head should be kept straight. But the gaze should be at the place of sajda. Now this would be done on a regular basis, this reminder. That this is how it should be done. And then Hazrat would, for example, many times he will notice somebody is not doing it right. So then he will again say it. He'll say that this is how it should be done. This is how the head should be. This is how the hand should be. When you go into sajda, all the fingers together. And the hand should be flat on the ground. Even the thumb should be together with the fingers, which we will do, inshallah. I'm just explaining that how the practical has to be done as well. So you'd explain this until finally a person gets it right. And then you can't get it right on your own. You have to get somebody else also to check, am I doing it correct or is it incorrect? For example, when we're doing the zikr, then how do we make the zikr? A person, he sits cross-legged, that's the sunnah way of making zikr. And when we make zikr, la ilaha illallah, slightly, just slight movement. Just slight with all the meditations, obviously I'm not going to go into all that, but just slight movement. Now you'll find that for a person initially, he can't just get that slight movement accurately right. Initially he will move quite a bit, some people will move the head also, whereas over here there's no movement of the head. It's just you move slightly and then illallah, that's it. You move to that extent. That is how in different khankas they do it differently. We respect all. We don't look down upon anyone. In their method and the way they are taught by their mashayikh, they are absolutely correct. This is how we taught in our khanka. We will do it according to the way we taught by our mashayikh. So this also many a times a person doesn't get it right. So this also repetition has to be done. It has to be explained all the time that this is how you will do it. For example, if you take now the witr salah. So in the witr salah that we perform, so when you sit, normally you find in after the witr salah, not the witr salah, the two nafil after the witr salah. So normally in the month of Ramadan, everyone reads it. And they sit and they read it also. So when a person now sits and he reads it, when you make the ruku, how should the ruku be made? So the ibarat comes in Shami, حَتَّى يُحَاذِيَ جَبْهَتُهُ رُكْبَتَيْهِ. Until jabhatuhu, the forehead of a person, it is in line with the knees of a person. So in other words, just slight. Allahu Akbar, this much. Just this much. That's how much a person goes forward. Here again, there's difference of opinion. There are those ulama that go further. They pick the back up also. They got their proofs as well. We got our proof as well. So whoever you follow a particular alim, a particular mufti in your masail of deen, then you follow how he teaches it to you. So here also a person, initially he doesn't get it right. But with practice, a person has to be reminded. Many a time you make a mistake. Now you have to be reminded that this is how it should be done. Then only a person, tarbiyat of a person gets made. That is why in the khanqa, that's what we came to learn. That how can we get the salah, all the masail, you know, the practical part of it. How can I get it into my life? How can I get this concentration? How can the postures of namaz be rectified? Many a times Hazrat would be sitting and somebody will pour water and give it. So now when he gives the water, how we would hold the glass? We would hold the glass on top and we'll give the glass there. So we'll say, but how do you give water? He'll ask another person, say, you come here. Somebody perhaps that knew. He says, show everybody, how do you give water? So the person will hold the glass in the bottom. You hold it in the bottom and then you give a person water. So the one that is taking the water, he got a place to grip. Now if you holding on the top, where must he grip the water? So he must hold in the bottom now. So you hold in the bottom and offer it to him in this way. So he from the top, he will take that water glass. One occasion, one person, the water was finished in the jug. So he was sitting. So he didn't want to get up and go and fill the water. Maybe he was sitting right in front, so he didn't want to lose his spot. So he took the jug and he gave it to someone else. So the other person went, he filled the water and he brought the water back. So when he came back with the water, then after the Tawaid and Hazrat said, he said that every person should take it upon himself that I should serve my Shaykh. Don't take the responsibility and pass it to somebody else. And then he said that Hazrat Mawlana Abrarul Haq Sahab Hardoi Rahmatullah Ali, that his father, we're talking of Hazrat Mawlana Hazrat Hardoi Rahmatullah Ali's father, he had many sons. So he says that only Mawlana Abrarul Haq Sahab Rahmatullah Ali became an alim of deen. The other children, they didn't become ulama. So he says, but whenever I wanted to drink water and I asked for water, from all my sons, Hazrat Mawlana Abrarul Haq Sahab Rahmatullah Ali, he'll run. The one who was made an alim of deen, who became an alim of deen, he would run, fetch water and come and give it to his father. At that time what he said, I wish that all my children, I made them ulama. I made them alim of deen. No problem. A person becomes an alim of deen, he becomes an engineer. What's the problem with that? He becomes an alim of deen, he becomes a doctor. What's the problem with that? There's no problem. Now your profession will be in accordance to Sharia. A person is a businessman and he's an alim of deen. What's the problem with that? There's no problem with that. Now everything will be done in accordance to Sharia because you got the knowledge of deen and you are doing your dunya according to that. So at that time he said that I wish all my children that are here, they would become the alim, they would have become ulama of deen. Then many a time we find that, Hazrat would explain, that in salah, a person that's a hafiz al-Quran, or is an alim, he's leading the people, how you should read in salah also. Not that a person now he goes, he's a, mashallah, he reads very well. So now, it is the month of Ramadan, now he's reading qirat. People are tired. Now, tarawih salah can't be read qirat. Now here you must read at a fast pace. The makharij, the tajweed, everything has to be in order. But together with that, a person should be fluent in the recitation of tarawih salah. And for example, the isha salah, that should be a little slower. That also, a person shouldn't be reading so slow now. So there it should be a little slower, the isha salah. The maghrib salah can be maybe a little more slower than that. And the isha a little faster. And tarawih salah at a fast hadar, a person should read in the tarawih salah. So how a person should read in salah, that also tarbiyat has to be made. And when reading salah, what surah should be recited? For example, as it says in regards to like the Fajr salah, the Fajr Salah in the month of Ramadan should be kept short. The Fajr Salah in the month, at other times you can read it long, but in the month of Ramadan, the Fajr Salah should preferably be kept short. Hazrat Muaz radiallahu ta'ala, he used to come and read Salah behind Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And after reading Salah behind Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Isha Salah, he would go to Quba. And in Quba, he would then make imamat in Quba. So, this is a different masla of fiqh according to the different mazahib. Whether it's permissible or not permissible. In the Hanafi mazhab, obviously it won't be permissible. But other mazahib, there is some permissibility for it. So, Muaz radiallahu ta'ala would go to Quba and make imamat. So now when he would go to Quba, the people of Quba, they are waiting for the Imam to come. So the Imam here waits to read namaz in Masjid al-Nabawi, and then he's coming to Quba. So already there's a delay. Now when he comes to Quba, now he starts reading Surah Baqarah. So one person, they're working the whole day, they were working in the farms, etc. in those days. So they're tired. So because he was tired, he broke his salah. He broke the salah. He went on his own, he read his salah, this particular sahabi, and he said, I'm going to report this to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Next day he came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He tells Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulallah, that this is what Mu'az radiallahu ta'ala does. He comes, he reads namaz here in Masjid al-Nabawi. Then he comes to Quba and makes imamat. And then he reads Surah Baqarah. And Islam got upset. He told Mu'az, Afattanun anta. You're making fitna. Making it difficult for people. Read the small surahs, Sabbih isma rabbika al-ala, wal-layli iza yakhsha, wal-shamsi, all these surahs which are referred to as the awsat-e mufassal. Read these surahs, make it easy for people. In another hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, Man amman nas fal-yukhaffif, that person that makes imamat of people, you make imamat, make it light for people. Make it easy. That doesn't mean now a person should rush and make it very short. It must be according to sunnah, but make it easy for people. It must be moderate. فَإِنَّ فِيهِمُ الدَّعِيفُ وَالسَّقِيمُ وَذُلْ حَاجَةً. Among the people, there are weak people that are there, elderly people that are also standing there. Among the people, there are people that are sick, that have ailments also. Wadul haja, people that have need. So when you're making imamah, you need to consider all this. Consider all this. One hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that sometime I desire, I want to lengthen my salah. I want to read a long salah. And in those days, it was permissible because it was a time of nuzul wahi. The woman used to come into the masjid. Because one law of Shariah would come down. After a little while, that law of Shariah could be abrogated. And another law would take its place. So it was permissible on this basis that women could come to the masjid in the time of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Nabi alayhi salam says that many a times I want to lengthen the salah. But then I hear the children crying in the back. So when I hear the children crying, I immediately shorten the salah. That this will cause inconvenience to the mother. So you got to take your whole congregation into consideration when a person is making imamat. So this comes after tarbiyat, after a lengthy process, after some time, then the tarbiyat of a person will be made. It can't be made just in 10 days or in 30 days. Person has to come repeatedly, then he gets all this in order. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. We'll continue from here.